I'm a senior research fellow at Stanford Law School Center for Internet and Society, and there I focus on privacy and on robotics. I think that robotics are going to be the transformative technology of this century, in much the same way as computers were in the 80s, as the internet was in the 90s and leading up until now. I think that the next logical progression is into robotics as being the truly transformative technology of our time.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting for the Internet for Monday, October the 11th, 2010. You're listening to Newsreel, a Wild Global sit-rep on corporate tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Talk, RedMercury.se, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night at 7 p.m., unless something else is happening, we are broadcasting inside of Second Life at Grid, well, in Node Archers at Grid 155-74666. And with us tonight, we have Morps, Sporadic-E, Agent, somebody here, Agent Dak, I'm thinking, Agent Dak, Static, Avamode, Anthony Metaluna, AOI Nexus, Balls, Baracula, Syax Core, Foxwolf, Maltese, Jonas Vincent, Mute Danube, RU486, Loner, Smurfort, Sonic Aftermath, Spark Test Rage, IE6 for Life, and CO2 Composer. So, very, very cool. Thank you for showing up for the show. And it's wild, you know, there's always people who are here a little bit later in the show, but, you know, they weren't here when the show started, which it always starts at the same time. But there'll be like twice as many people here, so if you want to get your name rabbit out, make sure you're here at the beginning of the show, which that could be part of the thing right there. Maybe they don't want to, you know, be known. Maybe they want it to be secret. Let's get into some feedback. Hey, Sean and Sim, I heard about the story of the stolen dog. This is a story I did last week or so about a dog that was ripped off, got chipped. Buddy gets contacted by the company saying, hey, can you update the new address because somebody turned in the dog? And the big, big deal. Simmy was like, well, I don't know, you know, statute of limitations, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sort of like, I hope he gets his dog back. So he chimed in. Heard about the story with the stolen dog that was chipped. And just for some more info for Sim, there's not usually GPS tracking in RFID chips. So in order for the RFID company to even have the new address on the thief, that means the thief had found the dog and was chipped and trying to change the address, and the owner listed the chip info. Also, the cops won't do anything is because of the statute of limitations. If it was me, I think I'd just find the computer whiz to hack and find the info for me. Hell, they hack everything, whilst not all the RFID databases. Lol, hope the guy gets his dog back. So yeah, you know, things like that, it's kind of sad. You have to kind of be a bit of a hero there and use some powers for awesome to help people, you know, get back their pets. I think that's okay. You know, it's a family member. It's a family member. I these stories, you know, it really freaks me out when the cops come in the yard and they just kill the dog. You know, right off, the dog's off the leash. They just walk in, shoot the dog, keep moving. You know, like it's nothing. It's just a dog. Kill it. You know, and that, ugh. You know, that really gets me. You know, it really does. Because the dog is not good or bad. The dog's just loyal. You know what I mean? So it, you know, it kind of chokes me when they shoot the dogs. I understand that sometimes you gotta shoot the dogs. I understand that. But I bet you, you know, they don't like doing it. Anybody who does like shooting dogs, I think that, well, I think you're sick and weird. I think there's something fundamentally wrong with you. But I imagine there's some people who might dig on that sort of stuff. I don't really dig it myself. But anyway, yes, definitely, I hope Buddy gets his dog back. Let's get into the news in Canada lockdown news. Thank you very much, Fennec Vladimir Fox. Now, you might think Canada's landed the free home of the Blade. Not so. Not so. No, unfortunately, Canada is not so free or brave. Province's Highway Traffic Act has changed on Friday. Police in Newfoundland and Labrador will be able to pull over drivers without having to give a reason, beginning Friday. That would have been October 1st. So cops can pull you over for no reason whatsoever. Legislative changes made on the Highway Traffic Act to address safety of the province's highways have come into effect October 1st. Government Services Minister Kevin O'Brien said it was part of an effort to crack down on impaired driving. You guys are drinking and driving, so we're just going to be able to jack you up for no reason anytime we feel like it. We brought the law forward because the police were having a problem in regards to having a specific item to pull a driver over. Had to be visual if you didn't have a specific item to pull it over, and they were impaired on the influence of drugs or whatever, but the perception that it wouldn't hold up in court, O'Brien said on Thursday. When the change was proposed last spring, St. John's criminal lawyer Bob Simmons said it would give police too much power and could lead to abuse. You think? Maybe right now, for police to stop people, they have to have a justifiable, objective cause, which, let's be real, is not hard to come up with. You know, sir, do you have a valid spare tire in your car? You know, is it stock? I'm sure they can find some bullshit reason to pull some guy over. That's just, you know, good police work. You know, just come up with a reason to get the guy over so you can stop him if you're that, you know. But they shouldn't need a law like this. Why is that? Because if we don't have reasonable, rational reason for police to stop someone, and the powers can be misused. That's the law presently sits, he said, in June. Beginning Friday, texting with handheld devices while driving is also illegal. Fines will range from $100 to $400. I don't really care about that so much as I do the fact that cops can, jack you up for no reason. According to Government News Relief, the legislative changes that will be proclaimed as of October 1st, 2010, within that province, authorizes police to use traffic safety stops as a means to determine whether drivers are impaired, driving while suspended, or driving without insurance, among other serious offenses. So we're just going to run you through the database. Increase in the current 24-hour driver's license suspension to a minimum of 7 days, 14 days for repeat offenses for drivers with blood and alcohol level greater than 0.05%, down from 0.08%. Holy crap. Not a lot of tolerance there. Reduce of the allowable blood content level to 0% from the current 0.5% for drivers accompanying a novice driver. So he better be sober too. Prohibit the use of electronic devices such as cell phones, Blackberries, and iPhones. The center receive text messages or programming GPS devices while the vehicle is in motion, which can distract drivers from driving safely. Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, Quebec, Ontario, Manitoba, and British Columbia now have similar legislation banning not only cell phones, but also the use of additional and newer electronic devices. But we don't have the law where the cops can jack you up for no reason. So that's one kind of thing, but that's so much for the newfies. You know, I don't know how they managed to get that one through, but, you know, that's telling. Pretty soon that'll be right across Canada, and, you know, then the NAFTA thing, and then it'll bring it down to the States. Maybe they'll try to creep it in there, but be advised, that's what's going on. Now, so we got some mind-bending news here. Now, this is an interesting piece of literature here. I'm always interested in the mind, fascinated by the mind. Very, very cool. You know, I like to study about nootropics and things like that, because your brain is really where you live. You can cut off your arms and legs, and you're still you. You start messing with the brain, and things get a little bit, you know, kind of funny. So, in mind-bending news, scientists have found a second pathway by means which memories are laid down in the brain, offering a promising new target for Alzheimer's disease therapy. The discovery challenges the orthodox view of how the brain handles its core functions of memory and learning, says molecular neuroscience Dr. Bryce Vissel from the Sydney Garvan Institute. The research also revealed a promising new target for drugs or therapy that could help people with Alzheimer's disease and other brain impairment to boost their cognition and learn new skills. Up till now, memory has long been thought to involve a molecule on nerve cells called NMDA receptor in the hippocampus, a region of the brain, Dr. Vissel told AAP on Monday. The NMDA receptor was previously thought to be important not only for forming new memories, but it's also thought to be essential for all memory formation. The way we've been thinking about it is this is fundamentally correct. However, it's not always true. There's an angle that has been completely missed. What was missed was the role played by certain calcium permeable AMPA receptor is an alternate process now known to handle memory storage during events which are novel, but not a totally unique experience. Dr. Vissel, working along with the fellow experts at the University of California, Los Angeles, conducted a series of experiments in mice that shows how disabling the brain's NMDA receptor did not always block the ability to learn, as would have been previously thought. They found evidence of the alternate AMPA process kicking in, allowing the mice to learn completely new things in cases where already had learned the general rules of its environment. Now, this is an interesting point. There's a good idea that comes from this. Now, a lot of people may know that I'm currently doing, you know, I mean, I'm always into self-improvement. It's a very WOG thing. Make self better. You know, that's sort of a good, you know, static idea. Try to improve on you. If you don't know what to do, try to make something better what you do know what to do. And if you're not too sure what else to do, get healthy, and at least your brain will be able to think more clearly because you're more healthy, and maybe you'll be able to come up and make a better decision when you need to. But always improvement. And the mind is very hard to exercise. How does one exercise the mind? Well, it's actually, when you think about it, exercise is largely unpleasant, really. I mean, at the end of the day, exercise kind of sucks. You know, you're sweating all the time. Of course, you know, there's the obvious things that you got to look after. Make sure your brain's getting enough water. You're not depriving yourself of sleep. Very, 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 very important. You have to make sure you get enough sleep. If you're not getting enough sleep, then you need to get enough sleep. So you got to figure out how to do that. But anyway, the point here is that it's hard to work out the brain. Now, of course, everybody reads. If you're not reading, you should try to be reading. I don't read nearly enough. I mean, I read on the internet every day, but that's not really reading. Reading, when I say reading, I mean you get a book and you read it. I don't care if it's a graphic novel. I don't care if it's a comic book. I like books. Well, they're Y2K compliant. You know, the power goes out, got a candle, got a book. I'm still online. You know, I'm putting info into my mind. However, you know, I think that another way that you can, well, increase your brain capacity, and this has been largely found out, is try to learn a language. I'm going to try to think about what language to learn. Maybe I should learn Spanish. People tell me that's a pretty easy one to pick up for the first time. I wonder if there'd be a good Spanish listener base out there. I was thinking about Arabic, but I don't know, man. Arabic sounds like it's a pretty tough haul to pick up first time through. Maybe that's another reason to learn that, you know? But I don't know if there's any good diving in Arabia. Maybe I'd like to learn Spanish because I might use it beyond the show. But who knows? Who knows? The point here is that you need to look after and exercise your mind. And a good way to do that is to try to pick up another language. So give that some thought. There's lots of information out there. PIMS or programs are pretty good. There's lots of different ways to learn a language. But if you learn a language, it forces your mind to work a different way. And they've got all kinds of research out there. The people who actually know a couple of languages are a lot more resilient to things like Alzheimer's and shit like that. Or you could sit at home and watch TV and let your brain rot out your nose. But that's a choice. That's a choice, and it's a stupid choice because, well, you know, why do things that hurt you? In robot takeover news, thank you very much, Risen, who sent me an ass load of stories, Risen. Holy cow, did you ever send me a bunch of stories this week? Thank you very much. And they're good stuff. They're good stuff. Risen sent in Citizens of Nevada. You can now relax. The Nevada National Security Site, homes to tens of millions of cubic feet of low-level radioactive waste. That really bothers me. That's a term that just upsets me. Low-level radioactive. What is low-level exactly? Like, how do you determine that as being low-level? And a location of over 1,000 Cold War nuclear weapons tests. So it's the location of over 1,000 Cold War nuclear weapons tests. So let me get this straight. I can do 1,000 tests with nuclear weapons in one area, and that's still considered low-level radioactive waste? What would high-level radioactive waste be? It's now being guarded by robots. Well, that's handy. The first planned trio of Mobile Detection Assessment Response System, or MDARS, is currently patrolling some of the more remote sections of the 1,360-square-mile facility. Awesome! So here we have the very first self-moving robot patrol vehicles. So these are the hunter killers on the ground. The cameras, equipped MDARs, can scoot around a predetermined path on their own, alerting its flesh and blood guards when it encounters an intruder or a broken lock in development by the Navy and General Dynamics since the early 90s. Wow, 20 years. The diesel-fueled Sentry Bot can operate for up to 16 hours and reach a top speed of 20 miles per hour. Wow, that's really slow. The U.S. military has experimented with using MDARS machines to patrol some of its Hawthorne Army Depot in Nevada. The bots have even been tested with automatic weapons. But I don't think that's the plan at the nuke site. Well, you know, if you're not going to use automatic weapons to defend your nuclear waste, what will you use them to defend? Really? But, wow. So, that's kind of stunning, hey? Like, so this thing can actually have machine guns on it and can engage targets, but they just haven't put the guns on it yet. Yet. You know? Very interesting. The Nevada complex, about 60 miles away from Las Vegas, is best known for its iconic nuclear weapons test shots. It's funny, this actual complex is in my book that I'm currently writing about Vegas in the afternoon. But anyway, it's best known for its iconic nuclear weapons test shots. Today, it boasts locations to conduct controlled chemical releases to the environment to simulate emissions from nuclear weapons production plants, according to NNS website. And the place hosts the Big Explosive Experiment Facility, BEEF for short. It's currently used for weapons and physics experiments and shape charge development. Wow, so this place is like the blasting zone. Going robo at the Nevada site is a cost-cutting move, the National Nuclear Security Administration claims. I'm going to call bullshit that this is a cost-cutting move, because if somebody's probably, you know, of the departments within the government that I think are going to have budget problems, it's not going to be a problem to get funding for the National Nuclear Security Association. Like, really? Is there anybody else who has a higher security sort of, you know, if they kill a president, that's one guy. If they get their hands on nukes, that's very bad. Very, very bad on a huge scale. So, you know, I'm thinking that they probably would have bigger plans for having these things out there. It's a secure area and it's big, so it makes sense to use it there. But if you think it's going to stop there, I don't suppose there's any sort of similarity between, say, that site and the border. How long before you think we're going to be using the MDARs on the border, eh? Anybody? No suggestions? Well, I'll make a quick spill out there, guess. I'm going to say, we're going to see these on the borders I'm going to go long. I'm going to say within the next five years, we're going to see these on the border. If this is success, well, no, we will. They've already got it out there. It's already running around. They've already put guns on it. Whether or not they got guns on the border is relevant. They got the UAVs out there. You know, I might even put this out on the border within three. Yeah, I'll say 3 years. Because, they're going to, if you think it's getting bad now, ho-ho, you wait for it. It's going to be Terminator. Right along that border there, those people trying to cross are going to be dodging robots. Why not? They're already doing it in Korea. In food crime news, nothing like food crime. You know, all the horrible things going on with people and their Brussels sprouts. Thank you very much, Sporadiki, for sending this in. A Georgia resident has been an organic farmer, you scum fuck, for years. You fucking farmer has now facing a $5,000 in fines for growing too many vegetables on his own land. What? Steve Miller has sold some of his produce to local farmers' markets, as well as growing food for himself. It is likely a victim of an online aerial invasion of privacy. Online aerial invasion of private property. The invasion of property, well, this is what they call Google Earth, I guess, is due to the fact that unless visited or inspected by an official, there'd be no way for there to be an accurate or factual accounting of what was going on at Mr. Miller's property. The question is, does Steve Miller legally possess a reasonable expectation of privacy on his own private property? Recent reports on local state officials and bureaucrats using online mapping software have become mainstream tools for accessing fines and generating money for cash trapping the local and state budgets. It doesn't seem right that anywhere Google Maps and Big Maps can go is legal to use as a source of information. Well, I think that's kind of crazy. That you're arguing that because I can look down from a satellite, we shouldn't know about that. I think that's ridiculous. So, but the point of the article here that I'm trying to take from this is that the guy who wrote the article is upset because they're using Google Maps to look at my property. And my point is it shouldn't be a crime what you're doing on your property. Like growing vegetables and selling them to a supermarket, that's a crime? That's a crime. To grow food, vegetables, okay? Sell them to a market. Make a little bit of money there. That's a problem. Anybody getting sick? Anybody dying? You know, you sell people rotten food, and they get sick and they die, then you're responsible, you get to go to jail. Thank you very much. But, you know, if there's nothing really going on there, then what's the problem here? You know, at some level, you have to sit back and go, wow, that's a really, really bad thing. That's like a bad thing on like 10 levels of bad thing. In Overseer news, thank you very much on Mutual. Good story. Now, this story here, if you didn't have tinfoil on your head before the show, oh, baby, you're going to go grab a roll of Alcan right now. Just go get it and start spooling it off around your knee because you're going to have yourself a tinsel toque in no time. Advertisers already pay big bucks for information about your search habits, your emails, and your tweets. That's right. Those bastards are hunting you down. In the near future, they may be listening in your conversations with your friends as well. The Good, that's the name of the company. The Good, a Portland-based interactive think tank, has developed a prototype program for eavesdropping on a discussion and pulling out the important opinions. This is kind of like, you know, when you're driving in the car with your partner and they're nattering on to you for hours and hours and hours and you just kind of try to keep track of what's going on. They've done that with a computer now. Called Sentimental, this is proof of concept. A platform translates casual remarks that you make, say, and store into valuable data that companies can use to understand or how average people feel about their products. So this is exactly the same when your boyfriend or girlfriend is talking to you while you're playing Quick, you know, or some other first-person shooter. You're sitting there, yeah, okay, good, yeah. Make sure you feed the dog, and I want to get some stuff. So you're going to remember feed dog. You know, stuff like that. I talked with The Good co-founder, Chris Tesso, and Cito Shantini about the potential of the obvious concerns that surround what an eavesdropping program bent on understanding how we feel. You can see they got some video there. And what will Sentimental do? Give the program some audio, either from a hidden microphone. Hidden microphone? Why is it hidden? Or recording from a phone conversation, an old movie, etc. And it strips out the pertinent data of how people feel about things. So if you said, I love cheeseburgers, but this local burger shack... I love cheeseburgers from this local burger shack. Big chain burgers aren't nearly as good. The Sentimental would spew out something like plus cheese, plus burgers, plus cheeseburgers, plus local food, plus minus big chain restaurants, where the plus and minus marks Sentimental actually used with hearts and symbols indicating positive and negative opinions. These identifiable info that the speaker is tossed aside, and only the sentiment remains. Give Sentimental enough audio from enough places and you'll get a better idea of how people feel about, well, nearly anything. When I first heard about Sentimental, I thought it was too stereotypically Big Brother to be true. Yet speaking with Cio and Trini made me quickly realize two things. One, analyzing public remarks for Sentimental about corporate products is already well entrenched in emerging internet culture. And two, the development of a technology like Sentimental is guaranteed to happen sometime. Well, it's going to happen anyway. You know, we're all going to get plugged into machines anyway. So, you know, I guess it's going to happen. You know, I've used that justification myself when I can't come up with anything better. Companies, and you got to bear in mind that everything you put online is analyzed, right? Except for this show. Well, I'm sure that somebody probably goes through my show and gets some analysis, which, I mean, I suppose if they were smart, they would take all of Newsreel, put it through this Sentimental program, all, you know, however, 427 hours of it or whatever the hell it is, and, you know, they'd probably get some pretty interesting opinions. I think pedophiles would be way down and robots would be way up. But it's interesting to think, first of all, that people are analyzing you're that much of a product. You know, I never felt like such a piece of cattle as I read stories like this. Your name, who you are, thoughts and dreams, all that shit, unimportant. Totally unimportant, not something that you need to worry about. You know, it's sick. It's sick, really. It's dehumanizing in a big way. So, I don't know if I agree with it. You know, I think that, I guess we got to know about it because the bad guys are using it. Right? And if they're going to use it, well, you know, is there a way we can redeem this information? Is there a way we can figure it out? Like, could we use this to monitor hours and hours of tape? Is this a tool that we can use for either good or evil? Or does this only have, you know, evil applications? I think there might be some good applications for this. Maybe you could put it in prisons. I don't know. Try to stop crime that way. But, you know, well, do prisoners have rights to privacy? Well, no, not really. No, because you're a prisoner. That's why you're a prisoner. But, yeah, it's a hard one when you start
messing around with that. I guess on some level there has to be some kind of objectification, and I suppose we're being fed that. Whether or not you agree with me that, you know, objectification is good or bad, we need to accept that we are being objectified. That's a fact. Like, we are all just a statistic to people, and this is just more evidence of that. So you as an individual, you don't matter. Oh, wait! There is something that does make you matter. And this is a sad, hard truth. And that something is money. The ammunition for the coming war. Money. Hoard it. Save it. Stockpile it. I don't care if your money takes the form of dollar bills that you stuff in your mattress or gold that you hide in a predetermined GPS location that might possibly also have firearms with it. I'm just saying that it's very important that you hold cash. Good idea. Now, there's a lot of economists out there that will tell you some shit about, well, if you hold your money and everybody does that, the economy's going to crash and the world comes to a fucking end and the entire planet will stop if you save your money. I look at those people and say, no, I'm sorry, you're trying to eat my brain, kiss my ass. Because at the end of the day, you need to hang on to your cash, all right? Because when the metal meets the meat, the amount of cash you had will honestly kind of determine how you're able to deal with your environment. And that's a hard truth. That's a horrible truth. And yeah, you know, it's good to have kit, don't get me wrong. You know, Maslow's need hierarchy and all that stuff. But, you know, you'll get further with a truck and some cash than you will with a truck on its own. I'm just saying. So, when people are on to you about, you know, objectification, all that kind of stuff, the only thing that, if they're going to judge you by numbers, make sure at least you got some numbers by your name so that you've got a chance, you know, maybe a small chance. Of course, it's hard. How do you keep it with you? I like physical cash with me because if I don't have money, I don't have money. But I'm kind of bad for that. You know, you might want to, you should make sure that you have like a safe, biosecurity, stuff like that. But honestly, though, it's always weird when you see these guys doing stuff like this. The guy, Tiso, who invented this thing, describes himself as a hardcore libertarian and seemed to think that the larger the listening conversations and public spaces application would be a net benefit for customers. Now, I love it when people are hardcore anything. You know, especially when their political ideology, because the reason why he's a hardcore libertarian is because in his heart of hearts, he knows that this thing is sick and weird. Okay, he knows this thing is kind of wrong. So in order to justify that with himself, he's a hardcore libertarian. And isn't that great? He's got this awesome, you know, predetermined political structure that he can loan his mind to put himself at ease, because he knows he's, you know, basically has no soul. You know, at this point, he's burning his soul. At this point, because he's the guy. Yeah, it was going to be invented anyway. That's like saying, you know, we built death camps because, well, you know, someone was going to build death camps. It may as well be us. You know, again, I've used the same justification. Fully admit it. It's a terrible justification, though. Just because I've used it doesn't mean it's not bad. Okay, it's terrible justification. Be able to come with something better than that. Jesus Christ. Really? Anyway. Let's understand also that, you know, understanding this, you start combining this technology with other technologies, like some kind of weird twist of Lego, it can do some strange things. And of course, you know, everybody's, of course, like me, interested in the mind. Nobody more so than the companies who are already trying to rape your wallet. I don't know about you, but if you're in your 30s, and you can remember commercials that go way back, or if you're able to, if you just happen to be one of those weird people who watch a lot of older commercials, a lot of people like older commercials. Do you know why? Because there was a kind of a feeling of, I don't know, they were just commercials. They were honest. They were trying to sell you something. Now, commercials are some kind of weird psyop design with like flashing lights. They got subtle, you know, sciences going on in the background. There's no laws governing what kind of psychological tricks, light pulsing, any of that stuff that they can do with commercials. I mean, they turn the audio down of the... You must have noticed this. The amount of, like, phones ringing in the background on radio commercials and, like, car horns, you know, car alarms, alarm clocks, things like that going off in the background. And these are, like, subtle cues to try to make your brain, pay attention. And that's just with the radio. Try to imagine all the stuff we don't know about going on in a commercial. Every single thing in a commercial, from the filtering to the light to the placement of the product to the, like, what's on the counter for half the shot as it slides across the room. That's all very carefully designed. And now they're finding new and exciting ways to, you know, influence your form of thought. It's it. You know, I'm telling you, it's hard to keep the tinfoil off the head. It really is. Now, of course, some people who'd really like to get some tinfoil on their head are these poor rats, which is from the University of Tokyo. It's the main picture on Newsreel. It's bizarre. I call people who live in cities lab rats. I work in a city every day, downtown. People down there, lab rats. They're all lab rats. They live in an environment that is completely controlled. They stack into their cages on their multi-floors and their skyscrapers. And they drink whatever was put into the water supply. And they eat whatever is available in the food troughs. And they read whatever everybody else is reading. And they read their Oprah books. And they're contained. It's a lab. You can do whatever you want to these folks. And so whenever I see things done to lab rats, it kind of disturbs me more than just a little bit. Now, aside from the fact that the picture is disturbing, it's just a good shot down in the front of the story, I guess somebody's going to have to pay the price for Neuralink technology. If that means I got to cut me up some rats, well, I guess that's what it's going to take. Researchers in Neuralink News, thank you very much for sending this in. The University of Tokyo created an interface that allows a rat to move a small car around with just his thoughts. The rats were trained. The rats were trained by the car, trained on the car by towing it around in an enclosed area with the motor disengaged. A vision system positioned above the tracked rats by following colored markers on their backs in the vehicle. It fed positions and locomotional estimation model program that correlated the motion of the animals with reading of the electrodes. Next, the rats were suspended more tightly in the car so the rims touched the floor only slightly. The researchers then switched the system into neuro-robotic mode, which made neural signals that helped drive the car. 6 out of 8 rats using the study adapted well to the car. The other 2 rats that had their heads cut open and wires stuffed in them, which is what's in the photo, well, they probably were too busy going, ow, ow, I have wires in my head, ow, 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 ow. But that's just a guess. That's just to guess. Now, in internet license news, as we all know, if you're running a bar, we'll call this bar the internet, and you want to keep out certain people, you have 2 ways of doing that. One, you can either find bad people, recognize who they are, and then throw them out and keep their name on a list. This is called a blacklist. Or you can make it an invite-only session where you show up, present your credentials. If you're allowed in, you get into the bar. That is called a whitelist. So, who do you suppose wants to generate or... Well, of course, it's not that this is new. They've been trying to do this for years and years and years. And, of course, the current political environment, very tempting time. Virus-infected computers that pose a risk to other PCs should be blocked from the net, a senior researcher at software giant Microsoft suggests. The proposed is based on lessons from public health. What? Said Scott Cheney of the firm's Trustworthy Computer Team. Trustworthy Computer Team. It's designed to tackle botnets, networks of infected computers under the control of cyber criminals. Putting machines in temporary quarantine would stop the spread of a virus and allow it to be cleaned. Just as when an individual is not vaccinated, puts others' health at risk, the computers that are not protected and have been compromised with a bot will put others at risk, and they pose a greater threat to society. In the physical world, intentional, national, and local health organizations track and control the spread of diseases, which can include, when necessary, quarantining people to avoid the infection of others. Simply put, we need to improve and maintain the health of the consumer devices connected to the internet in order to avoid the greater social risk. Botnets have become the scourge of the internet and a favorite amongst cyber criminals. Computers are recruited into networks where they become infected with a virus. They are commonly distributed by criminals as attachments in email messages and as software downloads masquerading as legitimate programs. Networks can consist of a few hundred or a few thousand Windows machines. However, some can contain millions of PCs. The networks are usually under the control of criminals who commonly hire them out to others for various means of inducing, pumping out spam, or mounting denial of service attacks against websites. Commonly available cyber defenses such as firewalls, antivirus, and automatic updates for security patches can reduce the risk, but they're not enough, wrote Mr. Charney. Despite our best efforts, many consumer computers host to malware and are part of a botnet. So, you know, you got this botnet. So their solution, his proposal, presented to the International Security Solutions in Europe conference in Berlin, Germany, is for all computers to have a health certificate to prove that it's uninfected before it connects to the net. Like if you were a hooker in Amsterdam. Although the conditions to be checked that may change over time. Current experience suggests that such health checks should ensure that software patches are applied, a firewall is installed to correct and configured correctly, and antivirus programs with current signature is running, and the machine is not currently infected with known malware. He wrote it in an accompanying paper. Wow, that's a lot of shit to have work just so you can connect to the net. I don't know how many systems you've built, but whenever I build a system, I just get it online, and then, you know, I start downloading all the patches and shit like that. So if you can't get something connected to the internet to get the patches you need, that means you have... Oh, well, that'll cut down on piracy, won't it? Yeah. You know, because once all you got to do is have the criteria for the whitelist, and whatever you start it with, this sounds like a pretty good idea. You know, hey, why not? We have to stop these botnets, right? That's what we got to do. We got to get it sorted out. So if we don't stop the botnets, we're all going to die. The terrorists win. The world is going to fucking end because we, you know, don't have this health certificate. Interesting. Then, of course, what's going to happen? What's going to be the next step? So they get it. They pass their law. They now have the whitelist. That's what's going to be going on. So I don't suppose there's going to be a lot of, you know, who has control of this? You know, what computers? Oh, hey, yeah, Max. Right. Do Max, are Max, you know, more insecure now? Or do they have problems? Or is that going to be... Let's say if Microsoft wanted to screw over Max, there could be a big problem because, you know, I don't know how many servers run on Mac. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could run this from a competitive and corporate edge. Yeah, sure. They could tie it up in court and all the rest of it. But that's one problem with this. The other problem with this is, of course, you know, then they can charge exorbitant fees to get the certificates that you need to be able to connect to the internet. And that's a bad problem, too. So a profit model. Yeah, do I think this is a good idea? Well, no. If we allow this to happen, you know, this is probably going to happen regardless, but the way it'll happen is that the internet is going to turn into a cluster of, like, these secret temples and a giant strip mall of sensory overload. That's what it's going to look like. All right, so you're going to log in, you're going to try to, you know, have adware on your computer enough to be able to get to a site where you can log into an intranet and a secure connection, and then you'll have, you know, your intranet. That'll be what it'll be. You'll, like, cruise around in there. But you'll be, you know, shielded, of course, from the greater, more evil internet that exists because you're on this, you know, private sort of intranet that exists. You know, it's sort of the internet, but it's not. It's like Web 3.0, where it's all, everything's going to be pre-filtered, only authorized people post to it, this kind of a thing, which is definitely not what the internet was supposed to be. Okay, the internet's supposed to be free, it's supposed to be a place that you get a lot of good ideas, and those frontiers will slowly start to vanish. And this is a symptom of that. Now, will Microsoft get this passed for the entire internet? Not a chance. Not a chance. There's too much cash at stake. But I think that these kinds of ideas are going to gestate and be created, because really there's no other way to do it. So this is going to come into play. And I'm sure that Mac's already, you know, well on their way, because they've got, you know, their operating system as they're slowly taking their Fisher-Price computers and taking over the world, letting people, you know, no longer be able to really, you know, do any modifications to their boxes anymore, taking care of the backyard computer tech. Got to get rid of that guy. So that's one problem with the Macs. I mean, they're good. They make some good equipment. They have a good product. Don't get me wrong. It's just that there's something just innately kind of weird with them. I don't really like them. But anyway, I digress. Let's speaking of Max, let's talk about Techno Slave news. Thank you very much, Vandal, for sending this in. You sent me some great stories this week. Army of the Flying Monkeys, right there, Vandal. An electronic monitoring system tracking sex offenders, parolees, and others shut down. What? Leaving 49 states blind to offenders' movements for about 12 hours. Holy shit. A system operated by Boulder, Colorado-based BI Incorporated unexpectedly hit its data storage capacity Tuesday morning, which blocked notifications to prisons and other corrections agencies, about 16,000 people being tracked. Holy shit. Tracking devices continue to record movement. But corrections agencies couldn't immediately view the data. The company had substantially increased its data storage capacity and hasn't heard of any safety issues. People being monitored were unaware of any problems. In retrospect, we should have been able to catch this, Waldo said. In Wisconsin, prison officials had local police and probation agents detain about 140 sex offenders at local jails until the GPS tracking was back up and their whereabouts during the outage could be confirmed. The offenders were never aware they weren't being tracked. Wisconsin Department of Corrections spokeswoman Linda Engert said the shutdown had affected about 300 people in Wisconsin, most of them sex offenders. She said the agency examined all of the offenders' GPS movements and was certain the shutdown didn't drive anyone to commit a new crime. Interesting. So, they say it's because they hit a data, parameter. That's why it got shut down. But that's a pretty big window there, 12 hours. And nobody knew that that was coming. You know, nobody knew that that was coming. That's an interesting story that occurred, because that seems like kind of a no-brainer, doesn't it? You know, like, if you were a dishonest scumbag working in a place like that, you wanted to profit by this, do you suppose you could? I wonder, but this is a strange story. And it also draws attention to the point that, like, what if these systems crash? What if we, you know, they come up with these lists and these systems that say, oh, this guy's on a terrorist list, this guy's not on a terrorist list. This whitelist is good, this whitelist is not good. Okay, well, what if that list gets lost? What if something goes wrong with the list? Especially with the internet connection thing. Does that mean that, like, well, nobody connects to the internet? Somebody connects to the internet? Is the whole thing gonna, like, what happens then? What happens in event in the case of failure? It does merit. And as we get more technologically dialed in, as we get more tuned in to, well, with everything, I mean, we carry around these bugging devices called cell phones everywhere we go. We already know that they can log in and, you know, activate the cameras, lots of software to do that. They can try it. You know, I'm sure that not all these devices have that built in. It's not all going to the giant, you know, eye in the pyramid in the sky. But, you know, the vulnerability is quite real. And anything you say or do on the internet is definitely, we can already see, not only is it being listened to, it's being analyzed, it's being run through these programs that, like, think about what your all your thoughts and feelings. It's bizarre. And when these lists crash, well, I guess the chains come off, and, well, it does kind of make me think about, what if, you know, you could just bring the machine down, you know, the whole thing. That'd be kind of interesting. Very interesting indeed. Let's talk about some Cyberpunk kit, because we got some good stuff this week. Some good stuff in the Kyber Cyberpunk. Of course, the big one, the Child Walker. Who didn't send me this? The entire internet sent me this. What ambitious tot hasn't thought about defending humanity while strapping into a glorious death-dealing battle mech, right? Well, now they can have the Kid Walker, a kind of bright red contraption that will let them act out their airlock fight scenes in no time. Provided you think little Timmy or Jane are worth the $21,000 to buy it, of course. But that's for outright ownership of the prototype. Rentals are how creator Sakibara Kibi envisions the coin flowing for now, meaning it could be a real Halloween costume possibly later this month. And yes, this is the same Sakibaba Kachi company who brought to life the real life-size Landwalker we reported on back in 2005. Which people occasionally send me that link. Hey, did you see this Landwalker? Do you know about this? Yes, I know about that. But they now have the Kid Walker version, which I really think is cool. Like, I hope that somebody picks up this device and sells it for children. Because, well, think of, first of all the media that will be generated showing giant walking robots, and that's worth it just right there. You know, we need some good mecha movies. Kind of down on the mecha movies lately, not so many of them. Let's also have a look at another piece of news came out. Big on the bionics this week. We got the power armor with the Child Walker. But let's look at the Cyber Heart. Thank you very much, Wyandi, for sending this one in. A 15-year-old boy from Italy is now the first child patient ever to receive a permanently implanted artificial heart. The boy, who remains unnamed for now, has been dealing with an illness called Duchenne syndrome, which causes rapid muscle degeneration. He was close to death and confined in bed with no ability to walk, and was still ineligible to be added to the waiting list for a heart transplant. This is when Dr. Antonio Amodio, a pediatric cardiac surgeon, decided to perform a heart transplant on the boy. But unlike the previous artificial heart transplants, this would not just be a temporary fix. This operation would serve as a permanent solution in hopes to giving the boy a normal life. The procedure was also unlike any other artificial heart operation because this was the first time it was performed on a child. The device is an electronically activated hydraulic pump, and it's entirely located inside the thorax in order to reduce the risk of infection. It is powered through a plug positioned behind the left ear and connected to the battery the patient holds on a belt and is charged during the night like a mobile phone. Wow. That's, better hope the power doesn't go out. Like, you better have some solar charges or some backups on that shit, or you're gonna be in trouble. The artificial heart is approximately 4 centimeters long, weighs about 14 ounces. Wow. After 10 hours in operation last week, the boy is still in intensive care, but he woke up after surgery and is doing fine. Despite the length of the operation, he woke up fine with his mother. When his mother called, she said he could not talk, but was brushing his teeth, so he could, you know, move around. The boy is expected to be in intensive care for 2 more weeks. With his new artificial heart permanently implanted, he has gained another 20 to 25 years of life. Wow. This is the first time such a device has been placed in a young child and could give him an improved quality of life, and even though he is still suffering from the Duchenne syndrome. So the thing is this kid's probably going to have a really shitty life, and it's probably going to be extended by this artificial heart. But it's interesting, you know, how do you determine what is quality of life? Really, I mean, what measure do you put on that? If he's happy, everybody else is happy, what the hell? You know, I say rock on. And definitely, I want to see the next version of this technology. Right? If we can learn from this, okay. You know, a lot of people don't like the fact that we got a lot of our medical knowledge from the Nazis in the Second World War. It's true. It's horrible truth. Horrible, horrible truth. Massive amounts of medical information was obtained because the Nazi scumbag motherfuckers were out there chopping up other people to figure out how they worked, thereby earning themselves a little place in hell. But... You know, when we still use that tech, though. We still use that technology. Something to think about. You know, I don't know. But need to be aware of that. So, you know, I guess this is better than what they were doing. But I wonder if that kid, what kind of quality of life that kid's going to have. Is this just a glorified human experimentation? I don't know. You can let me know what you think. You can let me know. But I'm always interested to know what people say. E-legs, sent in by Risen again. Risen, you're a madman, sending me all kinds of stuff. The E-legs is a concept that I thought would be awesome for Smokehouse. I was talking about building them some cyborg legs. Well, it looks like that they had shown up. E-legs are a unique exoskeleton for general consumers designed to allow wheelchair-bound folk to walk. The product has been based on some early work at the Berkeley Robotics and Human Engineering Lab. This was the Hulk exoskeleton. It's now available for civilians. In the video, which is really, you know, it's sappiness warning. This is posted on the LiveJournal site. It's, oh my God, you will cry. Well, it made me cry, damn it. I was watching, she's all like emotional, well-spoken and shit. It's great. So it'll get you, it'll tie you up inside. It'll not. The company, Berkeley Bionics, is holding a free press conference to reveal some new products. However, I think the video says it all. To quote Paul Simon, "This is the age of miracles and wonders. It is quite hard to be cynical about this technology, and you can see it so much for so many." Which, you know, is kind of uplifting. You know it is. It's kind of uplifting to see stuff like that. And on one hand, you know, you can think about, well, what are the legal ramifications of robotics? What does that do? You know, on the other hand, you can go blah, 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 go back and forth. But at the end of the day, you've got this woman here whose life, clearly, I mean, she, whether or not you believe what she's saying or you think any of this is all just therapeutic bullshit, I mean, she's really believing what she's talking about there. And for her, you know, why not? What the hell? You know, I think it's not hurting anybody, and it's definitely, rather than building weapons and bombs all the time, if we can maybe get some more of this going on, then that'd be okay. I also got, you know, after you're done feeling all uplifted, I'm ready to throw another massive curveball of nastiness at you. I discovered this. This is your daily hack today. I wasn't really sure where to put this. I put it in the daily hack. I will warn you, before we give out today's daily hack, you do not want to spend a lot of time on this website. Because if you spend a lot of time on this website, especially as a WOG, you start thinking bad things in your brain. Okay, and you can get yourself into trouble if you're not careful. So don't do anything stupid, right? Don't have alcohol in the house. This is one of those kind of links. We're talking about the Wikisposure Project. The Wikisposure Project is being built to house voluminous research regarding the identities and pursuits of those in the pedophile and the registered sex offenders activist community. Here we will build a page profiling the websites and individuals promoting child rape activism and RSO activism. We will feature the backstory behind their organization and their real identities. The information here will be used on our forums to do proper notification and alerts in communities where they live. The Wiki is part of the Perverted Justice Foundation, a non-profit foundation which works as a center against internet predators and pedophiles. Due to our work, we often identify pedophile activists and their online networks. They constitute a vast, rarely seen pedophile society, that few people have any idea of the scope or size of. This project will attempt to outline both the scope and size of their operations. Editing this wiki is left in the hands of the select few. However, you can help by working out in, by working in the asocial forum located on this project, as well as if you have a webspace, MySpace, blog, or anything else you want, you can add it to the recent changes feed. You can talk about this project, get it out there for people so they know about it. And it's a pretty neat project. But like I said, I found out about this because of the I was doing some research online, of course, and I came across this video of this 82-year-old or 72-year-old Aussie predator. This pedophile. He's a famous video. You know, he's jumping up and down. He's a pedophile, and I was stunned that this guy was allowed to exist. I'm like, really? No one's dealt with him yet. Like that hasn't. You know, he hasn't been taken out? Really? So I thought, well, that would never happen in the United States. And oh, wait, yes, it has. Yes, it has. All over the place. Some dude Bill O'Reilly had on his show and blah, blah, blah. So I started researching. You know, I'm like, what, really? There's like an active pedophile who's a legal pedophile because he hasn't actually touched any kids, you know. But he's got his blog up and he's teaching people how to do it and so on and so forth. But he hasn't done it himself, you know. And I'm like, really? Well, where does he live? Oh, shit, he's down in Washington, Oregon. And then you start thinking, oh, that's not too far away. You know, I could drive down there. I could go down there. You know, I don't know what I'd do when I get down there. Oh, I know what I'd do when I get down there. But I'm not going to think about that right now. I'm just thinking, well, it's not that far away. You know, let me get this straight. This guy, known to operate in this area, is a pedophile. Well, you know. I think I'm just going to go clean the guns again. That's what I think I'm going to do. Holy cow. You know, but so honestly, though, all joking aside, I'm just kidding. You know, don't spend too much time on the website because it does bad things to your brain. And, you know, you can wind up getting yourself in some serious trouble. But it is important that we let people know about this sort of project. People need to know about this stuff. So definitely pass it around. Pass it on. Today's Daily Hack. Also, some Recomedia. The Connect to Me. Sent in by Orphet. Now, this was kind of an interesting TED Talk. It may be of interest concerning immortality and, should we say, a form of afterlife, because it's quite also informative on neuroscience. Sebastian Jung is mapping a massively ambitious new model of the brain that focuses on the connections between each neuron. He calls it our connectome, as individuals as our genome. To understand, it could open a new way to understand our brains and our minds. Again, heavy on the brains. If you gotta know what they're thinking about. You gotta know how they're working on it, because the first people gonna hit it are gonna be the advertisers. And if you don't put thoughts into your own head by reading and by research and by strengthening your mind, you can bet that somebody else is gonna put them in there for you. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you share. You know, stick around next time. Same bad place, same bad channel. This is the same free podcast that happens everywhere every week. Brought to you by Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so. Go to the Rant Media site. Go to my LiveJournal site and click on the left-hand side. You'll see a little button there that says subscribe. You can go down there. Send us some cash. Don't make me do the phone drive thing. It's horrible. And click on the donate tab on any of the Rant Media sites. Also, very appreciative. Or pick up a flag. Get some materials. Or you can send an envelope loaded with gold to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 37 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And let's not forget all of those good folks who live in Vancouver or somewhat near Vancouver. The next Rant Meet, we're moving up. Usually we do it the first Friday of the month, but we're moving it up to Friday, October 29th at 6 p.m., only 6 days after my birthday. At the Vancouver Art Gallery, we're going to meet. 6 p.m. Vancouver Art Gallery. Okay, October 29th, Friday. October 29th, 6 p.m. Vancouver Art Gallery. Where? Vancouver Art Gallery. We will then go to the Vancouver Short Film Festival. After meeting up, it's a 15-minute walk for the showing of Tales from the Afternow's Little Rocks, as seen, the award-winning short film seen all over the world, which I wrote and narrated. That's true. Follow the links on the Little Rocks page to buy your tickets early for the event. They do sell out, but, you know, you want to... They sell them at the door, but it's a good idea to buy your tickets early because we don't know what the turnout's going to be, and this isn't the only film showing. So you definitely, definitely, definitely want to... you're going to want to check that out. So it's, again, Friday, October 29th at 6 p.m. Vancouver Art Gallery. You want to check it out. And, of course, let's a big thank you to the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Again, Risen, Vandal, others, thank you very much. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. You know, it's good music. I use it behind all the shows, and it's good music to think by. It's very hard to feel down and depressed when you're listening to Psytrance music. Next time you're down and depressed, just throw on some Infected Mushroom, you know, and see what happens. Yeah, I'm going to fade out now with one of my favorite tracks. So remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Peace, quiet, and good order will be maintained in our city to the best of our ability. Riots, melees, and disturbances of the peace are against the interest of all our people, and therefore cannot be permitted.
The jury found that they were all not guilty, not guilty, not guilty,
We've been
not
told
guilty,
all along
not guilty.
Kershaw Boulevard, that there's a series of fires, a lot of looting is going on, a disaster area, obviously.
The jury found that they were all not guilty, not guilty.
Make it rough.
A lot of activity continues here in Gilbert.
Make it rough.
We have sporadic fires.
Not guilty, the filthy devils tried to kill me. When the news get to the hood, the niggas will be hotter than cayenne pepper. Cuss, bust, kicking up dust is a must. I can't trust a cracker in a blue uniform. Stick a nigga like a unicorn. Born wicked, Lawrence, pow, foul. Cut his fucking throat and I smile. Go to Simi Valley and surely somebody knows the address of the jewelry. Pay a little visit, who is it? Get a crunk to the grand wizard. Then boom, make him eat the barrel. Modern day feral, now he's zipped up like leather Tuscadero. Pretty soon we'll catch Sergeant Coon. Shoot him in the face, run up in him with a broom. Stick, prick, devils ain't shit. Introduce his ass to the AK-40 dick. 2 days, niggas laid in a cut. To get some respect, we had to tear this motherfucker up. Make it rough. Officer Wynn, damn his devil ass, need to be shipped back to Kansas in a casket, cool cut faggot. Now he ain't nothing but food for the maggots. Lunch, punch, Hawaiian, lying, niggas ain't buying your story for me. Tearing shit up with fire, shoot us, loot us. Now I got a laptop computer. I told you what happened and you heard it, read it, but all you can call me was anti-Semitic. Regret it, nope, said it, yep. Listen to my big black boots as I step. Niggas had to break you off something, give Bush a push, but your National Guard ain't hard. You had to get botany to stop me, cause you know what? We would've told this motherfucker up. Make it rough. Hey, Muggs, make it rough. And a cake from Betty Crocker. Over Wettenbacher, don't fuck with the black on stores, but hit the Foot Locker. Steal, motherfuck, fire, Marshall Bill. Oh, what the hell, throw the cocktail. I smell smoke, got the fuck out. Ice Cube, luck out, my nigga had a struck out. Didn't get stuck out, in front of that store with the Nikes and Adidas. Oh, Jesus, Western Surplus, got the heaters. Meet us, so we can get the nines and the whatnots. Got the Moss Bird with the double eye buckshot. Ready for a barrel, and like Beretta would say, keep your eye on the barrel, a sparrow. Don't the crime if you can't do the time, but I'm rolling, so that's a fucked up slogan. The Hogan's heroes spotted the gorilla by the sizzler, hitting up police killer, the super duper nigga that a buck. We had to tear this motherfucker up, so what the fuck? Make it rough. Yo, Muggs, make it rough.
release for Stacey Coon, Lawrence Powell, Timothy Wind, and Theodore Bresenio, the four officers accused of beating motorist Rodney King.